World War II, Prime Minister Winston Churchill would sometimes visit the United States. And when he came across the ocean to the U.S., he addressed the Congress, and often he met with President Franklin Roosevelt in the White House. Churchill apparently had the odd habit of practicing his speeches in front of a mirror, completely nude. Apparently, one evening, Roosevelt, remember he was in a wheelchair, he wheeled around the corner in the White House, and there was Churchill in front of a mirror, completely naked, practicing his speech. Roosevelt caught his breath and said, "My apologies, Mr. Prime Minister. I did not mean to interrupt." And Churchill turned on his heels to face Roosevelt, waved his hand, and said, "On the contrary, the Prime Minister of England has nothing to hide from the President of the United States." Today is the first Sunday of Lent. Lent is a six-week spiritual journey into the wasteland of our souls, sort of a time of cleansing before Easter comes. We give up all that which we have to hide, and we too take a long, close look at naked ourselves in the mirror, and we see who we really are. Lent is the time when the church commands us to talk about sin, as you can see in the readings today. Before we can feel the joy of Easter, we must face who we are and what we are. Sin has kind of been badly translated and interpreted over the years. And I think when the word comes up, you know, like when you hear the word sin, I think our minds go automatically to the last time we had this huge piece of cheesecake, or the day, the night when we drank a little bit too much, or maybe we went to the casino and lost a little bit more money than we wanted to, or when we lied on our tax return. But that's not really what sin is. Sin is something much more than a small crack in otherwise disciplined behavior. Sin is something that we are caught in. We're sort of enmeshed and stuck. It's like a state of being. The world is broken and not the way it should be, and sin is also not just out in the world, but inside of us. It's like we are these little insects caught in a spider web. Sin is outside of us and inside of us, and we're sort of all wrapped up in it. In our reading today, Jesus is led into wilderness to be tempted by the tempter, the devil, the reading says. And Jesus, as you know, at that time of his life, he had just been baptized and he was ready to start his public ministry. He was really what you would call a total package. He's young and he's bright and he's gifted. I think legend has that he might have even been the valedictorian at Nazareth High School, maybe captain of his soccer team, and he was probably voted by his peers to be the most likely to succeed. He's gifted. And as we all know, temptations abound, particularly for those who are gifted. Jesus is led out into the wilderness to fast by himself for 40 days and 40 nights, it says. But what it really means, it's just Bible talk for a longer time than any of us would want to be alone in the desert for no food. That's just what it means. So the devil appears to Jesus. And the devil appears to Jesus when Jesus is vulnerable, when he's hungry, when he's tired, when he's alone, and then tempts him three times. And if you listen carefully for this temptation that the tempter offers to Jesus, it is almost like a job offer that would be difficult for anybody who's young and rising to turn down. What is he promised? Power. All those things that my confirmation students tell me they want in life when they grow up. Power, success, influence. And Jesus is put to test. The question is, would he be the one God called him to be? Would he put his gifts to their proper use? Or would he be swayed to be someone that he was not meant to be? You see, sin is really our desire to be something else than what we are. It is our desire to be in charge and put ourselves in the place of God. When Adam and Eve ate of the tree of good and evil, it wasn't just that they broke some silly, frivolous law. It was that their lives got out of sync with God's life. They saw themselves rather than God at the center of things. And you know what happened to them? They fell for that old fairy tale, that old fairy tale that all of us hear over and over again today. And that is that you are self-reliant, you are self-constructed, you're self-made, and you are above all self-sufficient. Sin attacked Jesus when he was at his hungriest and his loneliest. He was tempted to become something that he was not. And as Jesus discovered the temptations are strongest in those places where we are most gifted and in the times when we are most vulnerable. I think if the devil popped up here, like right now, wearing a red suit and carrying a pitchfork, I think we would either laugh or just leave. But that's not how it works, because sin tends to be much more subtle in our lives. It tells us exactly what we want to hear. And our greatest temptations come in the places where we feel most powerful, places where we are most gifted. And the temptation is to use those gifts to satisfy our own desires rather than sharing them or to be using them the way God intended us to use them. To be someone other than the person God created us to be. One of the most touching scenes, in my opinion, in the movie Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone takes place in the attic of Hogwarts. If you haven't read Harry Potter, it's the training school for these gifted young wizards. And in that scene, in that dusty corner, Harry discovers a mirror. And the name of the mirror is Desire. It's a magic mirror. And it reflects the deepest desires of the heart of the person who's looking into the mirror. And as you know, Harry is an orphan. Doesn't have his mother and father. And when he stands before the mirror, Harry sees his reflection, and standing behind him on his right and left are his mother and his father with him. The deepest desire of Harry's heart. And he feels a touch on his right shoulder, and he looks, but there's nothing. And then he feels a touch on his left shoulder, and he turns, but there's nothing there either. They're gone. And then at that moment, that wise old wizard Dumbledore stumbles in and he sees Harry staring in the mirror and he says, "Only when one looks into this mirror and sees oneself as one actually is, can he or she be accounted truly happy." And my friends, that is the gift of Lent. It is a mirror of honesty and compassion, a 40-day mirror in which we can see ourselves for who we really are, a mirror that won't tell us what we want to hear, but it tells us what we need to know. We are not self-made. We are God-made. We have not been crafted in the image of success or media, but we are made in the image of the sacred. So I invite you to look closely into the mirror of Lent these 40 days. Strip away the external trappings and see the image of God's beloved child, broken and yet so beautiful, trapped in sin and yet overwhelmed by grace. And in the background of this 40-day Lenten journey of gut-level honesty, in the background is the greatest desire of our hearts, an Easter of joy. Amen.